Beloved radio friends, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, we greet you once more. We continue, and today we conclude our study in the book of the Revelation, chapter 22, and the first 5 verses on the future glory of the church. John writes, by the Spirit to say, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his precious and of his holy word." We have seen in chapter 21, beginning at verse 9, the description of the glory of the bride, the Lamb's wife, which is the church. Oh, may I encourage my fellow believers to joy and rejoice and anticipate with joy the coming glory of the church. You and I who are saved, we shall be in it. We shall share in it. We shall be manifested and displayed with the glory of God, which his grace has accomplished in us and through us, through his beloved Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. We come to the closing description of that glory in the chapter that we have read, 22, verses 1 through 5. And we find the blessings of that glory which we shall enjoy in verses 1 and 2. A pure river of the water of life. A tree of the tree of life. Oh, how one can recognize, and please may I emphasize, that water of life to the heart of a believer is Christ. And what better water can we ever drink than the water of life which is Christ? And may I say to my fellow believer, you and I will feed upon Christ in that blessed day. He will be to us the water of life. He will be to us the tree of life. For thank God, as we see in the second verse, there is the tree of life found in that city. Not 2 trees, as you did find, as we know there were, in the Garden of Eden, but just 1 tree, and we shall sit down under his shadow, and his fruit shall indeed be sweet to our taste. Oh, what a tree that will be! And even the leaves of that tree will be for the healing of the nation. But for you and for me, we shall drink of the water of life. We shall feed upon the fruit of the tree of life. And surely, symbolically, it all speaks to the heart of a believer of Christ. Nothing but Christ will be our food forever. And what glory it will be to have perfect satisfaction in that eternal day, feeding upon him and drinking that clear crystal water of life proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. But may I close by stating a few facts? The eternal perfection of that blessed city, it will be a perfect condition. But note the words, "There shall be no more curse." All that sin has done to curse the earth will never be known again. The condition of that heavenly city, the eternal perfection of it, it will be a perfect condition to live in. Can you visualize that we shall be living in a perfect place, a perfect condition forever? No more curse. Then there will be a perfect government. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. T'will not be an earthly throne. T'will not be an earthly king. But oh, the divine persons of the Godhead and the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be the perfect rule of that city and the government over the universe which shall be manifested. We do not have, we never have had, a perfect government upon the earth. All the claims of men, the claims of politicians, the claims of statesmen, and the claims of kings to make this world a better place, they cannot, they will not, they can but fail. Thank God we shall have a perfect government in that day, and then we shall be performing perfect service, and his servants shall serve him. What joy to realize the service which down here is so often broken by our unfaithfulness will never in that day be manifested in such character at all. His servants shall serve him. And may I emphasize, the service will be done for him alone. And it should be down here. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, we are told. How much in that way we fail today, but we shall not in that eternal day. There will be perfect service. And then there will be perfect worship. They shall see his face. My beloved, we shall look upon the face of our Redeemer forever. And perfect adoration, and perfect worship, perfect homage will be given from every redeemed and grateful heart. Oh, beloved, what joy it will be to see his face. As we often sing, face to face with Christ my Savior, face to face to see and know. With what joy then we shall worship him, and he'll be the eternal worthy object of our adoration forever and forever. And there will also be perfect likeness. His name shall be in their foreheads. The implication that reflected upon our likeness will be his likeness. What a joy it will be to live in a place and to be eternally amongst the people who everyone bear the likeness of Christ. Oh, the promise that John wrote in his epistle chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. May I say humbly, but gratefully, I praise God that by his grace I shall be in that glorious city, reflecting in perfect likeness the likeness of my Savior. How often down here upon the earth, even we Christians can be so unlike Christ. God forgive us, and he does. But oh, in that day, there'll be no unlikeness, but constant, perfect, eternal likeness to our beloved Lord. And then in our fifth verse, we have mentioned again, there'll be perfect light, for there shall be no night there. They need no candle, they need neither the light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. My beloved radio friend, may I suggest to you, this is not only the fact that we shall be in eternal light, that we shall never be in eternal darkness. But may I suggest the fact, too, that this light also includes not only that which is physical, but also that which is spiritual. The spiritual illumination of knowing the divine persons of the Godhead and going on to know God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent for you and me forever and ever. And having imparted the knowledge of God and of Christ through endless ages, never exhausting the greatness and all the eternal truth we shall learn in that glory above. The Lord God will give us perfect light. Perfect light physically, yes. Perfect light spiritually, even better. And then last of all, there'll be perfect sovereignty. For we read, they shall reign forever and ever. My beloved, here you have the saints reigning with the Lord God and the Lamb, and reigning forever and ever. Oh, when you think and I think of those words, thou hast made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign on all over the earth. My beloved, this is not the day when you and I reign. Sin reigns in this present scene. Satan reigns in this present scene. And unfortunately, ungodly men reign and rule in this present earth. But oh, in that glory and eternal age to come, it will be the saints that will be sharing the reign of that glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they shall reign forever and ever. My beloved, this is the conclusion. And though briefly we have covered it, it has brought in some measure to us the description of the glory of the bride. But we cannot close without a further plea to those of our listening audience who know not the Lord Jesus. There is a place for you in this city. There is an opportunity for you to be there. For whosoever's name is found written in the book of life, they will be there. And my beloved, God wants you to take your place there. For that place, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, left heaven above for you and went to the cross of Calvary to give himself as a sacrifice for your sins and for mine. One is well written in Christian poetry. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the door of heaven and let us in. And oh, dearly, dearly has he loved. We should love him too and trust in his redeeming blood and seek his will to do. My beloved, if you have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I ask you in his name, will you accept him now and trust his precious blood to take you to the glory of that city, the glory of the church which is to come for his name's sake? Father, sanctify, bless, and prosper thy word to the glory of our Lord and the blessing of many in his own worthy name. Amen.